a lot of it was about celebrating things that you have, like really enjoying life to the fullest, like every moment of life, not just like when you get something that you wanted, you know, like to really like appreciate everything and have gratitude. And I think those are like really important takeaways too, yes. Because this was a woman that it wasn't about the greed of accumulating things. It was about the joy of the process making it happen. Yeah. And that's the part that you should fall in love with. Not the actual thing itself, but the process of the how it gets to you. Amen. Was the exciting part.
It is.
Hello, welcome back to Show They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
And hello, everybody. It's the Iceman.
And indeed, we are talking today about the biography, kind of a biography, of a wonderful lady by the name of Helene Hadsell. I don't know if it's Helen or Helene, but it's because it's got an E on it.
Helen.
I think it's Helene Hadsell.
Nailed it.
Hadsell. Have you heard of her?
No.
You never heard of her?
Only through you.
Why did you correct me on the way to say her last name?
Oh, then? Because I enjoy doing that, even if I don't know what.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like to be adamantly. He likes to pick a strong side, not really.
No matter what.
And whatever it is.
It drives some people absolutely bananas, which is the whole point.
Me, I'm people.
Yeah.
It drives me bananas.
I've been doing it for so many years.
Especially
on the JK
when
and
he
stuff.
Argues with me about something, he's completely wrong and has no basis to argue with me at all.
It's one of my favorite things to do.
It's like, I think we go left here. And he's like, no, we go right. And it's not even like a question. Like, I think we go right. It's like, no, we go right. And then he's so wrong. Like,
listen, pissing people off is my favorite thing to do in the world.
No way.
Yeah, right. So yeah,
that's crazy.
That's the origins.
And I was like, hey, you know what? I want to marry that.
Yep. Same.
All right. Never change, Green. Anyway, Helene Hadsell. Do you want me to tell you a little bit about her? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I would love to hear about her.
So she's known as the contest queen. Want to know why?
Why?
She has won not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven contests. She's won over 5,000.
Are we talking like lottery here?
Contests. Anything and everything that she's ever wanted to win.
Okay, now I know who you're talking
about. She wins it.
She's definitely a Helen.
She's named the contest queen. I think it is pronounced Helen, actually, but like it's got an E on the end, so it's really throwing me. Like when I read it, I'm like Helene, but like I think she said Helen. Either way, look it up. I don't care.
I don't either.
The point is, her story is amazing. And
so she just wakes up every day and she's like, I'm going to go win some damn contests.
I'll tell you what happened, actually. But she's won over 5,000 contests in her life, which is absolutely insane.
You just won your first contest just recently.
A contest?
Yeah. I mean, like, what do you call it? Like, you just won something for the first time ever.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about that. But it wasn't a contest.
Oh, well.
So.
How is it not a contest?
Pipe down.
Contest is when you're competing with a bunch of people.
Is where it's a sweepstakes where they draw a name out of a fucking hat. But can I get to my fucking story, or are you just going to interrupt every 2 seconds with some arbitrary nonsense?
It's good content, but go ahead.
It's not. I'll tell you what's good content. The contest queen. And I first found out about her when I was actually, it was 2022, and I listen to a meditation every morning, or I try to listen to it every morning, and it's kind of a manifesting meditation. It's a law of attraction meditation. And I don't know, I listen to it because it helps me visualize, and it's this very specific meditation. But at the time in 2022, I didn't have YouTube Premium. So there were ads that happened before the video.
Oh no.
And the ad for this video, because they got really good at targeted ads, the ad started with talking about Helene Hadsell, about how she won 5,000 contests. And it was to sell you to go to this website about the Jose Silva method, which is like a method for how to, you know, do law of attraction stuff or whatever. And it's like a whole school. But they didn't like start off pitching about the school. They started off by telling this whole story of Helene Hadsell. And it was like a 40-minute ad. I listened to this ad for like 30 minutes because...
Oh, you're that person?
Who they make these for? I'm not that person. This is the first time I ever did this, but I thought her story was so fucking fascinating. And the way that he just started like going... It was basically a video that they did, and at the end they plugged the school, but like they made it into an ad. And so like I was fascinated with her and her story. And then I did my meditation. And you know what? That day, I went final table to WSOP.
Love it.
Because I was thinking about...
dialed in.
I was dialed in. And, you know, it was talking about how you have to be at a very relaxed state. And then she would like... So she had a specific method that she used called the SPEC method. And we'll get into this in a little bit. But it's called the SPEC method. And it was basically you select it, you project it, you expect it, and you collect it. We'll get into it.
Like how it all rhymes or whatever.
I know. She's really cute. Actually, if you look up videos about her, because that's what I did. After I didn't go to the Jose. I looked into the Jose Silva school that they were talking about, and like I guess she worked with him and stuff. But I was more interested in like her story, so yeah. I went and looked up a bunch of like videos of her and all this stuff. And then I was gonna do an episode about it after that happened, but I kind of forgot about it, and I wanted to do her justice and really like give you all the full details about her story, because I just think it's so interesting. She's this homemaker, never got more than a high school education. She this is back in the like 1960s, and she and her husband would enter these sweepstakes. Like she started getting into these sweepstakes and stuff, and like basically there were two types of sweepstakes that she would enter. One was just a drawing where you just submit your name and then they draw your name out of a hat and you won. And the other one was a skill-based one, which was mostly copywriting. Like she would, it'd be like, submit your best caption for this, you know, back before the internet, before you could do caption this on social media, it was like sweepstakes. So companies would be like, do a, you know, write a copyright and you can win whatever prize, like a refrigerator or whatever it was. Whoa. It was like 1960s stuff. So like you could win a brand new stove and stuff like that.
You want a refrigerator that weighs 25 tons.
Yes. So then
can withstand nuclear blast.
For a decade, she wasn't really having much luck at these contests. Like she wasn't really winning for like 10 years of doing this. She was just like doing it because the hopes and the dreams, you know, like we all do. Like you buy a lotto ticket, you're like, maybe it could be me, you know? And she wasn't really winning. But then she found this book by Norman Vincent Peale called The Power of Positive Thinking. I actually bought this book after just so I could like dig into it and see what it was all about, because she really credits a lot of her success. She says after she read this book, she started winning almost everything. And I was like, damn, this book must be like powerful. Like what the fuck? So I bought the book. It's I finished it, and it's older. It's written in the 1950s, so it was ahead of its time. It came out way before The Secret and, you know, Law of Attraction stuff that we have now. I feel like there's been a new wave of, you know, people that are in tune, or at least have heard about, like, manifesting.
People also overdid it, and it makes a lot of eyes roll now.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm kind of saying it in that cadence, yeah, I think, because people, like, discredit it and call it airy-fairy. But this was, like, way before this time. This was, you know, decades before any of that came out. So this book... It's pretty religious. Like, it's very heavily Christianity focused, which is interesting to me because Neville Goddard did a lot of Law of Attraction books, and he wrote them 100 years ago, but they weren't religious based at all. They were very like, it talked about God, but not in a specific religion. It was just basically the concept of God and like how you can channel that, and which is all like, a lot of this is just pure positive energy and like raising your vibrations to where you're attracting the positive things into your life. And people over the years have had different ways of describing it. But when you actually like break down like true law of attraction stuff, it's basically the same thing. Like if you read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and he interviewed a bunch of very successful millionaires, like the richest people in the world at the time, they all had like common threads. And one of them was like having a positive attitude, having confidence, things like that. Like that got them further than a college university education. So in the book, it's definitely more Christian based, but you can still take the concepts, and you don't have to be Christian necessarily.
You don't have to convert to do
apply the concepts, but it does, you know, it helps you go along with his way of thinking, like the way that he's talking about. And he has a lot of the concepts that you see in modern day, you know, law of attraction, new wave age stuff. Anyway, she reads this book and it completely changes her mindset. Everything that she absorbed from this book, she applied, and she started having a lot of success right away. Like she just started winning stuff. The first thing she won was a motor from from Coca-Cola.
A motor.
A motor, like for a fishing boat. And so she wasn't really interested in the motor, but she was trying to like apply these new methods that she had just learned about like, winning contests.
Shit, I want a motor.
So, well, she looks at it, and her husband fishes.
Oh, okay.
And so you had to write what you like, something about Coca-Cola, and you know, like make it catchy, and like the person that had the best copywriting would win. And she put herself in the mindset.
By the way, real quick, you keep on saying copywriting so close together.
Yeah.
It sounds like copyright law. She's talking about copywriting, like writing copy.
Yeah, writing copy.
Yeah, like writing like a cool alliteration for yes. something. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
It's okay.
I feel like, yeah, copywriting is like a career. Mm-hmm. People, they're copywriters mm-hmm. out there. Not like I own the copyright to something yeah. like W-R-I-T-E. Yeah. Okay. So she put herself in the mindset of her husband, and she wrote it as him, like enjoying a Coca-Cola on a boat. And she actually said, I don't even drink Coca-Cola. I drink Pepsi.
Oh, wow.
But when she's writing this, she goes, you know, she said something. I wish I wrote it down, but it was something about, you know, when I'm fishing on my boat, the Coca-Cola is my best friend. Like that's the only friend I need with me on the boat.
Oh yeah, that's solid.
Something like that. Yeah, and yeah. It was very like, you know, cool, catchy. And she was just kind of thinking from the perspective of like, what would I like about a Coke if I was fishing on the boat?
Yeah.
And
it's like the Mad Men shit.
We're
in the show Mad Men where they're talking to the cigarette company guys and he's like, it's not just, you know, a cigarette, it's toasted. And then the guy's like, "It's everything's fucking toasted." And he's like, "Yeah, but that's the way we're talking about it, so it sounds
nice. Sounds sexy.
Yeah, yeah,
it sounds different.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly." So she won this motor, and then she started developing more of her skills with copywriting, and she started entering more of those sweepstakes because she kind of liked it. It was kind of creative. It was humorous. She was having fun doing it.
Yeah.
And she would
start stacking motors up.
Oh yeah. She loved puns. She would call them coin words. She didn't have a word for it. Like she didn't call them puns. She called them coin words because whenever she used them, they were like money. Like she would always like win when she used these puns. So there was one contest where you had to name a horse. So it was like a contest for who could come up with the best name for this horse. And she came up with Prance Charming and she won, you know, so little things like that. Yeah. She kind of uses as examples of how she would come up with copywriting and names. And she
could be your best friend.
I know. We would have, honestly, after you listen to this podcast, go look up interviews with her because there's one specifically very long interview that she did where she just goes in. It's like 10 hours of her like going into details about all of this. And she seems like the most delightful lady to hang out with. Like she honestly just seems like such a chill, like fun lady.
Tell you what.
Huh.
I'm not going to do that.
Well, she.
But I'll just listen to you talk about her.
Okay.
For 1 hour.
But if you were interested.
Okay.
Like she's not some woo-woo
No,
person.
I feel you. I'm just like 10 hours is like, holy Jesus.
Oh, no, you don't have to watch 10 hours, but they break down the videos into like smaller segments. But she is no longer with us, so there's not going to ever be any updated podcasts or interviews with her. But she just listening to her recount her life and like how her journey that she went on, I really think that her not having a higher level of education like helped her be more open-minded to sometimes like if you're too academic, you're like, you don't want to look stupid.
Yeah.
And she was never scared of looking stupid. She's just like, what do I have to lose? Like, whatever. Like, maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. Who cares? Like, I'm going to try it. And then it worked. And then she's like, oh, I'm going to keep doing it. And she kept that like childlike curiosity that like, ooh, this is fun. Let me go this way. And I think that like that's really important to manifesting things,
not taking yourself too seriously.
Yeah, not taking
it's
yourself
so
too seriously.
Man,
having
really.
A humor bone.
Yeah,
having humility.
Because I know a guy who didn't graduate or anything, just high school barely, and like same shit. Like he needs to be seen as smart. And it's like, dude, you just need to chill the fuck out.
Right. Yeah. No. If you take yourself too seriously, no matter what your education level
fucked.
Is, but like if you want to be seen as a certain way by people and you don't want to look stupid, you actually I think inhibit a lot of like. You close your mind off to a lot of concepts because you are scared what people think about you. She wasn't scared about what anyone thought about her. She was just like, I'm going to try this thing.
Key to life, man. That's the key to life.
100%.
Right there.
And what helped is that like her husband was super supportive of everything. He was just like down. He was a writer as fuck.
Having writers around you
makes
you impervious to like outside bullshit.
It sounded like they have like a really fun relationship too because she was just this housewife and she'd just be like, you know, I'm going to do this now. It's kind of like your mom. Like,
it's kind of like you.
Yeah, like me.
Like, where
yeah.
I'm like, why is a motor coming to my house? But that would happen to me. I'm yeah, not even like, kidding. That's not even crazy.
I won a copywriting contest.
Well, right, exactly. Like, I wouldn't even be surprised if you did. If honestly, if I one day wake up and there's a boat being delivered here, I wouldn't even be surprised.
Well, you know, I was going to talk about this a little bit later, but... you know, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but I do feel like when I read stories like this, I've had experiences, many experiences where I've like, quote unquote, manifested something into my life just really randomly.
I've seen it.
And you've witnessed it.
I am a witness as well.
I try to compare like what they're saying they did as their formula and then what I was doing at that time in my life and what parts of those line up. Because then I'm like, okay, maybe we're on to something here and that can replicate it. Because I got into this stuff when I was like 18 years old. But in the beginning,
you got a knack for it.
It's harder in the beginning because it sounds really silly and you already have these preconditioned beliefs about what your limitations are. So you have to like break all of your limitations and realize that the world is made up and silly and that like remove the ceiling from like what you're able to do. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's still like hard. Like if you've never made $1 million, then I'm going to make $1 million is going to be impossible because your belief system isn't there. Like you really don't believe it in your heart. You can say it all day, but if you don't believe it, then it just doesn't happen. So you have to like change a lot of that stuff. But one of the things that I think is like similar between us is like I don't care about looking stupid at all.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm really interested in something,
yes.
Like if I find an interest in something and I'm passionate about exploring it, I don't really give a shit what anyone thinks about that. Yep. So
that's a fact.
So then like fun random things happen from it. And that's kind of her whole thing. It wasn't like she was focused on making $1 million. Like it wasn't a greedy type of thing. It was stuff that she genuinely had an interest in.
And then gave her joy.
It would give her joy.
That's key to it.
And she would visualize herself having it and like how happy she would be. And then it would come into her life. And she just got really, really, really good at receiving those things, like at getting that. And but at the time, there wasn't a lot of material about this stuff. So she read that one book. But she ended up writing more books to help other people because once she discovered that this shit works, she wanted to share it with like everybody. And some people thought she was crazy, but the people that she taught it to that were able to implement her system, like she taught it to her whole family, they all would do it together. They would like all these different contests, they would all win. Like it's kind of one person doing it, that's already crazy. But then her whole family doing it, continuously winning like every contest. Like is a little bit harder to argue that there's something there.
It's like the Monopoly game at McDonald's, except not cheating.
Yeah. So it's hard when that happens. I want to look into it more because it's like hard to deny that that was just luck over and over and over again for multiple people across many, many years, across many, 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 many contests. So she swears by her system of select it, project it, expect it, and collect it. So the select it part, she says, you can't win anything if you don't know what you want.
Yeah, true.
She's like, you have to have a clear idea of what you want.
That's
so
any goal.
When she was entering these contests, it wasn't about winning them for her. Like a lot, she says when she asked around, a lot of people focus on the winning aspect of the contest. Like they just want to win. So they're like, oh, I just want to win. I want to win. And like, that's not specific enough. That's not like a thing, right? So she didn't do that. She would think of something she wanted, say like, I want a skateboard or whatever. She didn't pick a skateboard, but she many times did kitchen appliances. She was a homemaker, right? So she'd like, I want a new stove. And then she would seek out contests that had that as the top prize. So she would only enter contests that had the stove as the prize. And she's like, you have to focus on one thing at a time. So that was a big thing for her.
Dude,
and
this is you.
I know, but I'm really bad at focusing on one thing at a time.
Dude, you got a jacuzzi sent to us one time.
I know. Or like this house, I pictured it in my head.
I know,
man. With all of the elements, every single element that I wanted is in this house.
I know.
No,
you're hilarious.
I visualized it and I scripted it and I would think about it every time in meditation and I would just think of like being grateful about it, about living there. And I am. Every day I'm like super grateful about living
there. She said
here.
Like, I'm not kidding, guys. Like she's like wanting to get a bed for the guest room because like, we want to have family come over. And I'm not kidding. She like manifested a fucking bed came to our house.
Yeah. Well, when we wanted a king size bed for our bedroom in the condo. And
And you actually told me you're going to do this. Yeah. It's not like just like something where, oh, you got a brand deal randomly and like we know that's possible. No. This bitch was like, I'm going to focus on manifesting a bed because I want to upgrade our bed. And I was like, yeah, whatever. You're crazy.
Yeah.
You're fucking nuts, right? You're psycho.
Within a few months. Yeah, within a few months, there was a brand deal for a king size bed. And then not just that, but a mattress any size. So obviously I picked king size. Because when I looked up how much all this would cost, it'd be like $5,000. Because it was like you have to buy the bed frame. Mm-hmm. And then you have to buy the mattress. And then you have to buy all the bedding that goes along with all of that. And the headboard. And it was like really expensive. Like way more expensive than I wanted to spend on a bed. So then...
And this isn't exclusive to tuber things either. Like... She's done this in so many different ways. Like, it's ridiculous. And you were doing this before we were even tubers, really. Like,
and I didn't really talk about it to anybody because I don't like what, like, people, and I'll talk about that too, because she actually mentions this and I was like, oh, yeah, like, that is a huge part of this.
Well, look, I can already tell you what some people would say about what I just said.
Yeah.
Right? Well, yeah, of course, because you're a tuber scum. You have all the fucking, you have all these advertisers wanting to give you stuff. So, yeah, it's manifesting. Advertisers sending stuff. No, I'm telling you, she specifically says what she wants, and then it comes to her. And it doesn't always come through tuber stuff. Like, I'm talking about, like, the way she fucking all of a sudden shows up at the World Series of Poker and she final tables out of nowhere. And I used to say to people, I was like, man, I have a sitcom wife. Like, you know, like, I wake up every day and I'm like, what's she up to today? It's going to be crazy. It's like a different episode that writers wrote because it's so ridiculous. And I'm not even kidding you. Like, the way that all of a sudden Nikki's on everyone's timelines and everyone's like, wait, what the fuck? Nikki's really good at poker. That is what I was been talking about for years now, but nobody ever believed me. People are like, oh yeah, Steve Green thinks he has a sitcom wife because like he wakes up and like Nikki's making cookies or something. I'm like, yeah, dude, that's all it is. You're just not even listening to me. Well, but then you did something undeniable in a completely different field.
Yeah.
And then everyone had to just see it. And then everyone's like, what the fuck is up with Nikki?
Well, I mean, even within that field, and I'm not trying to like toot my own horn or brag or anything. I was actually lamenting to my therapist last year about how I really liked commentating for poker streams. Like I tried it once and I was like, I really like this, but there's no streams in Vegas. Like, cause she's like, well, go focus on that. I'm like,
you just moved away from the last stream.
There's no streams. It was in LA. There's no live streams in Vegas. And then two, like I've only done it like one or two times and there's like there's many other people more qualified to do this in the field. So like, mm-hmm. And then I wouldn't even know who to talk to start. And so, you know, I started a podcast and then within a month of us announcing this podcast, a new stream came to Vegas and they wanted to not only sponsor the podcast, but they wanted us to commentate the stream. Dude, and it was like the stream everyone was talking about at the time in the poker world. And yeah, so that was
so many times. And there's examples that I won't give. I mean, there's just so much.
There's a lot.
I could write a book about it one day. Maybe I should.
Well, last year when we were furnishing this house, I was like, everything's so expensive. And then I was like, I wish we could afford this like big lawn, like outdoor dining set and like couch. Then all of a sudden this like company sends me a $4,000 like outdoor furniture set. It's like insane. Out of nowhere. Like they just wanted like one Instagram reel.
It's insane. I know.
So
and
yeah.
And you had said that you're like, I want to try to get it. Like some outdoor furniture.
Yeah, but it's not like I and this is why I hesitate talking about it because I don't want people to think that it's not a forced thing. Like when you visualize it, you have to like
it's from a joyful
fun.
Place.
It's from a joyful place,
exactly.
And like how fun it would be to have that, yeah. And you don't get disappointed when you don't
exactly.
see it because that's denying its existence. Basically, it's like you're focusing on the gap between you. Not having it.
It's not that serious. And that's the thing that's so important about it. It's like it's a joyful thing that you're focused on.
And then I forget about it and go about
exactly.
my day. And like it unfolds the way it unfolds. It's always like a delightful surprise in how it unfolds.
Yeah.
Like it's not like I'm waiting for it and like, where is it? How come it's not here yet? It's very like that. Every time I've been like, where is it? How come it's not here yet? It doesn't happen.
Well, that's from a lack mentality.
Yes, exactly.
That's why.
But
going
back to her method, selecting it, she says, be very specific on what you want. Like, know that. And then you project it. So you visualize it. Like, you think about exactly what we're just saying, how fun it would be to have that. Like, you know, what your life would be like having that thing in your life. And then you expect it, which not expect it in a way like, where is it? How come it's not here yet? But expect it in a way like, I wonder how it's going to come.
Yeah.
Like in a fun way.
You're
like,
open to it.
Yeah. Like, ooh, is it going to come that way? I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. I wonder how the universe will surprise me today is basically it. Like, you're waiting, as if you're like waiting for an Amazon package where you're like, it's coming. I don't know when. Like, it said 2-day shipping, but you know, sometimes there's shipping delays. Sometimes there is delays. She talks about that too. Like just because it hasn't come on the timeline that you thought it was going to come doesn't mean it's not coming. Yeah. So don't like shut your brain off. She said one time she did this contest and it was for a stove and she really wanted the stove like so bad and it wasn't and it didn't come and a couple months went by. So she's like, I guess I didn't win. So she went and bought a stove and like this $1,000 stove. And within a week of her buying it, the contest people called and were like, you won the stove. And she's like,
oh my God,
I just bought the stove. And so she's like, yeah. So after that, I learned like, it doesn't expect mean, it. Yeah, it doesn't mean it has, it's not coming. It's just, you gotta like give it a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Like give it a minute. Okay. And then collect it, which is like the last part. It's like, you just have it in your life now.
I think that's everyone's favorite part. I'm gonna speak for a lot of people here. I think that's everyone's favorite part.
But I think that the other parts get in the way. And like when you listen to, like I've talked about Abraham Hicks a lot because they wrote a book called Ask and It's Given, and it's all about this as well. And the hard part for a lot of people is the waiting part. The gestation period is what she calls it, like where you've already said what you want and you've put energy towards it. And we know that it, like the universe like is like, okay, we know it's coming, right? But it hasn't physically manifested yet. So then people get like, it's not here yet. It's never coming. Yeah. And then you shut it off. Yeah, and like, yeah. Then it goes, then the universe goes, oh, it's, you don't want it. Like it's never coming. You said it's never coming now. It's like, doesn't know the difference between I want it, yes, and I want it, it's not coming, no. There's no no. It's just like, love you're that. Just focusing on the lack of it or you're focusing on having it. So one of her biggest, her most famous wins is she won a house. She won a 4,300 square foot house, fully furnished house. And this was in 1965.
How do you win a house?
Okay, so there was a contest. This house was showcased at the 1964-65 New York World's Fair. And it was like,
sounds fake.
They wanted people to, I forget if it was like about the counters in the house. Or I'm sorry, it's been a little bit since I've watched these videos, but basically millions of people submitted to this contest. They had different houses set up over the all around the area. It was back in the days where like you could order a house to be built on the land that you wanted.
Okay.
You know, like they had Sears had these like pre-made houses.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, so this was like a really extravagant one and they had different ones set up. And the way you entered this contest was you had to go to the house and like it was an open house. And then you had to write about what you liked about the house and put your name on it and drop it off in the thing.
Wow.
Okay. So the closest house to her that had this contest going on was 50 miles away. And she like tried to get her friends to go with her. She's like, come on, let's go. Like we're going to win this house. And they're like, it's raining. Like it's far. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
A lot of people are going to be entering this
contest.
Yeah,
a lot of people are going to. It's just like
defeatist
such a landslide. And she's like, I'm going to win this house.
Yeah.
Because like, she's won a lot of things. She knows how to do this system, right? And so she goes to the house and she like looks at the things that they want her to say that are nice about the house. And she like really keeps a lot of this in mind, like when she's like thinking about the house. And so she wrote a lot of the details of the house in there. And she wrote her name in the guest book and then she submitted the thing. She also submitted one from her husband who wasn't there. And then she submits it and she goes back to home. And then she finds out later that like you have to have been there in order to win it. So if her husband's got picked and he had never been there,
loophole.
Then yeah.
She's going to get gypped out of it.
Exactly. And so she basically, there was like one day left and she had to like drive him down there to like sign his name in the guest book.
She takes it that seriously. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, you think it wasn't even just that. She drew out the blueprints for the house before any of the, like right away. She started drawing up the blueprints for it. She had them professionally done. She knew where she wanted all the furniture to go.
Holy smokes.
She picked out the plot of land where they were going to build, have this house.
Wow.
She was fully like, this is my house.
Yeah, I won and here's next.
When it's like expect it, like she expects it. No, wow. Like, oh, hope I get it. She's like, no, this house is mine. But so much so that when they called and were like, they did this like call beforehand to make sure you actually went and saw the house.
Yep.
Yeah. And so they did end up drawing her husband's name.
No way.
And they had to make sure that he saw the house, and she told him what to say, like what parts they really wanted highlighted. So he's like, oh, the countertops are just amazing, and like all this stuff. And she knew that it was going to be him. And so when they, a few weeks later, because they like go through a deliberation process, make sure you're not related to anyone that was throwing the contest.
That's not
right?
What McDonald's did, by the way, for Monopoly.
I know. They did not, look into that.
All the winners in one area, connected
so
to one family.
Okay. When they finally announced that it was her, she's like telling the family, like, you got to act surprised. We got to like, they can't know that we were expecting this, right? Even though she knew, I know she sounds crazy, but then like, she's like, oh my God, I can't believe it's us. And then she's like, they didn't know that we had the blueprints done. Like, they were like, were you thinking about having this house? They already had the plot of land purchased. They were like, oh yeah, we happen to have this plot of land.
Wow.
Yeah. And so she wins this fully furnished, like lavish 4,300 square foot house. And she lived in there. They lived there for a long time. And because she got so famous from this, she got a lot of like little things. Like they would follow up with her to make sure she liked the house. And they were like really courteous. Like she said like they were always just like so like nice to her. Cause they wanted her to say nice things about it to promote like
right
cool their houses are. Right. But she loved it anyway. It wasn't hard for her to say nice things, but she'd be like, what do you guys want to do in New York? Like, because they'll probably ask us to go there. And like the family was like, we want to see a show. So they picked out a show. And then when the people called, they're like, do you want to see any shows while you're out here? And so she's like, right away, like the show.
Wow.
Like, so she would like, it all went in a line, right? Where like knew some things were happening out there in the world. And then she just kind of drew them to her. Love where it. She like genuinely liked and expected those things. Well, we got back from a break.
We're going to draw you some other cool stuff.
We're going to draw you some other cool stuff, and I'll tell you about how she taught other people these methods.
Love it.
And check out our Patreon, by the way, if you like the show and you want to support the show. Patreon is the best way to go. Patreon.com/sticky, STIKKI. Steve has a crypto corner.
Speaking of manifesting shit.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people were sharing portfolios today.
Yeah.
And so I was just looking at it before I came upstairs. Amazing job, everybody. Amazing job. It's been unbelievable.
A lot of six figure.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Success stories.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
People turning a small amount into a big amount, not risking a lot, not doing stupid shit, not selling their houses, right?
Yeah.
Like actually just spinning up a small amount and earning it. And I'm so proud of everybody. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, check it out. You get this podcast a couple days early too. And Discord community, so awesome.
The best.
We'll see you in a second.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us. Like,
listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And we are back. So more about Helene Hadsel. Helen? We don't know. She was amazing. Contest queen. She really enjoyed. And when you listen to her talk, you know it's genuine that she figured this stuff out and wanted to share it with as many people as possible. Because there's no, if I get this, you can't have it.
Yes.
In the world. Like anything
yes.
that you
I
want.
I believe in this.
Yeah, exactly. Because like people get jealous. People get envy. People think like, oh, I wanted that thing and now that person has it. Like they stole it. Like I can't get it. I can't get that job now or whatever it is. And it's just not true. There's just like anything that you want, it's available to you. And she knew that by sharing this, it wasn't going to stop her from getting what she wants. Ridiculous. So she wanted to share it with everybody. And there's stories that she's told about how when she went to these shows in New York, she once got tickets for a game show and they were like, you know, giving stuff away to people in the audience. And this lady next to her was like, man, I wish I could win one of these things. It's just so hard to win one. And she's like, that's ridiculous. Like, what do you want? Like, and she's like, well, I don't know. Any of them I'd be happy with. And she's like, no, pick one.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, okay, I want that refrigerator. And I don't remember if it was actually a refrigerator. So excuse me if the story is a little bit inaccurate, but it was like, she picked one of the things on stage. She's like, the refrigerator. And she's like, okay, only think about the refrigerator. She's like, visualize, you know, like, what about the refrigerator do you like? Like, how would it make your life easier? And like, the woman just described, like, oh, it would be so much better because I don't have a lot of space in my refrigerator and I have a whole family and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you know, talking good things about this refrigerator and visualizing herself having it. And then she's like, okay, now just, like, know that that refrigerator is yours. Like, when they call out the name, when they're like, okay, here's who won the refrigerator, it's going to be yours. And she's like, but you have to know. Like, just know. You have to know. And she's like, do you know? And she's like, yeah. Okay. And then guess what? What do you think happened?
I think her husband won the refrigerator again. No. She's like, honey, you got to get down here. You just won the fridge. He's like, oh my God.
Freaking woman that she was teaching won the fridge.
Wow.
Boom. And then the lady's like, was that witchcraft? Like, what did you do? And she's like, no, I don't do witchcraft. Like, she's been accused of being a witch a couple times. And she's like,
amazing.
So she
would
wrote
have been killed at the stake like 200 years ago.
She wrote a book called Wishcraft because she's like, I don't do witchcraft. It's a wish. It's like a wish that comes true. And I'm just telling you how you can.
Good alliteration, always. Good alliteration.
She loves the puns, the coin words. So she's like telling this lady, she's like, okay, well, now you know. Now you know the formula. Like, go do that more. Like, just keep doing that. And, oh, and by the way, Helene was in this contest club where, like, there was like a group of people and she was in this since the beginning. Yeah, like coupon people. But they would all submit just different sweepstakes and then they would talk about like who won what that week. And there was one month where Helene won something every single day of the month. Like, usually it was like one or two a month, like for people, she wouldn't want something every single day.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So it was pretty wild. And she was like sharing the formula with everybody. She was just like, this is what I'm doing. And she just couldn't wait to teach people. So she wrote several books to inspire us. If you want to check it out, she wrote a book called The Name It and Claim It Game, Maneuvers for Wishcraft. She wrote a book called In Contact with Other Realms and Adventurous Experiences and Awareness. Okay. So yeah, after, she had all this down and she was older, much later in life. She's like, well, I got everything I wanted. Like, I don't really want anything else. Yeah. Like, I don't really like have a, she's not going to do something just for the greed of it. She also never does something to test the universe or whatever.
I like that.
She does it like if it's like actually brings her joy and she wants it or she thinks it's useful or whatever. So she's like, yeah, I've written books. I don't really want anything anymore. And so she started exploring more about herself. She really wanted, like, got into like, you know, exploring all there is to know about the self. And she like looked through numerology and astrology and like, you know, all these things that could help kind of decipher coding about herself. Because if there's a formula for the universe and like attracting things, there must be a formula for other things as well. And so she got to really like understand herself and coding. And she has like psychic abilities, and you know, this is the part where like people can like fall off, or you know,
if anybody could argue they have psychic abilities, maybe this bitch.
And she said she's had it since she was a kid, like where she would see, like they would be at a funeral, and like she would see a person by the casket, like, and no one else could see that person. And so she's like had these abilities, and she just kind of started to hone that more and help people with like, if they were grieving, like she could be a medium basically. But she's like, you know, just because people are dead doesn't mean they're smart. Like sometimes she's like, sometimes I'd go to these like seances or like see like other mediums and like people are like, oh, my dead grandma's watching me and she gave me this advice. It's like, it doesn't mean it's good advice. Like she's like, so why I always tell people, like, I'll tell you what they're telling me, but like, it doesn't mean you should like pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, and so she's like, you gotta be careful. Like sometimes people like that have moved on to the next realm, they like are kind of annoying and they wanna bug everyone. So like, you know, don't think everything is gospel basically from that stuff.
Like,
but
that,
you know, she wrote this other thing, a book called In Contact with Other Realms, and then she has one called Confessions of an 83-year-old Sage, The Glad Mad Sad of Life. And then she decided to write like some nonfiction or some fiction book too. So she wrote a novel called A Man Called Friday. So she like just really honestly wherever her heart took her, she like would go that direction. And she was really about helping people and help and like teaching them like how to hone these methods so that they could have like joyful lives and like have what they want in life. And like, really, like a lot of it was about celebrating things that you have, like really enjoying life to the fullest, like every moment of life, not just like when you get something that you wanted, you know, like to really like appreciate everything and have gratitude. And I think those are like really important takeaways too, yes. Because this was a woman that it wasn't about the greed of accumulating things. It was about the joy of the process, sure, of making it happen. Yeah. And that's the part that you should fall in love with, not the actual thing itself, but the process of the how it gets to you. Amen. Was the exciting part.
It is.
So she has a couple of tips. One was that she picked specific things that she wanted. Don't be general about it, and you know, only focus on one thing at a time. Like she's very big on like focus on one thing at a time. I'm really bad at that. That it's yes, true. But whenever I focused on one thing at a time, it has worked. And by the way, I was going to do this episode way earlier in the year, but then, you know, I didn't have time. I wanted to really do it justice. And I had been like watching all the videos, right? And during that time, I had talked about how I wanted to win a trophy.
Yep.
For poker. And I was talking to people about it, about how this was, I was setting my top of the year goals for 2024. I was like, I want to win a trophy in 2024. I've never won a trophy in my life. Specifically, I'd like a poker yep. trophy, but I've never won any trophy yep, ever. True. And I was at my cash game and they were like, you can't win trophies at cash games, by the way. Just for people that don't know the difference, you can only win them in tournaments.
Yep.
And I was telling people like how I decided that was like my goal. Like last year I wanted to be a commentator and that happened. And the year before that I wanted to like learn tournaments and final table. And that happened too. So I was like, okay, this year, oh, and I wanted a 6-figure score and that happened as well. So this year I was just like, I don't really care what the money value is of the tournament that I win. Don't give a shit. Like it could be, I win $100. I don't care, but I want to win a trophy. And specifically like my favorite trophy is the Win trophy. Cause the Win, when they do tournament series, it's a trophy that's in the shape of the Wynn Hotel.
So sick.
And it's so cool. I just love it. It's always been my favorite trophy. So the people at my cash game were like, well, how many trophy events do you play a month? And I was like, none. Like, honestly, I don't play trophy events until it gets to like WSOP and then it's bracelet events. But yeah, I don't really play it. And they're like, how many tournaments do you play a month? I'm like, maybe like 3 or 4. Because like, tournament players, they play like many, many, many tournaments a month. And I was like, yeah, maybe 3 if I'm lucky. I'll maybe fit 3 tournaments in there. But I'm not really big on tournaments because they're just a lot of variants and it makes me sad for the most part. So they're like, yeah, it's going to be hard for you to win a trophy if you don't play many tournaments and then the ones you do play don't have trophies. I'm like, that is a fair point.
Fair.
So it was during this time where I was watching all these Helene Hadsel videos. She's like, be very specific and visualize and all that stuff. So that weekend, like within 2 days of that conversation at that cash table, my friend was like, come play at the Win. And I was like, okay. And then when I was about to go there to play cash, found out they were having the last day of their tournament series that had trophies attached to it. And the last tournament, because I was like, well, usually they're like $1,600 tournaments and I'm like not like prepared to like spend that much on a tournament buy-in. But this one was the very last tournament of the entire series. The very last opportunity to win a trophy was a $160 tournament. It's very low buy-in. And it was happening in like a few hours. So I immediately like started meditating. And I didn't have much time to get ready. Like I just found out that this was happening. I kind of wanted to do laundry, but whatever. I was like, okay, focus time. We're going to get the trophy. So I did my meditation and really like focused on clearing out my mind of anything. No attachments to anything in the outside world, just like completely clear, relaxed. Like we're not desperate, like no desperate energy. We're not like, we need it, we want it, yes, we want it so bad. Like exactly. You need to like really release like all that kind of energy. And then I visualized everything. Like I started backwards from the end to the beginning. So I started by visualizing me putting the trophy on the shelf and what the weight of that trophy would be and what it would feel like in my hands as I'm putting it on the shelf, what it would look like on the shelf. And as I'm placing it on the shelf, I'm like thinking about how silly it was that I just manifested this trophy, like in my visualization. I haven't manifested it yet physically. It's just like in my, I'm like, that was funny that we did that. Like, that was like so dumb. Like, we just manifested this trophy. And as I'm putting it on the shelf, I just like think about how silly everything in life is. And then I pictured the walking up the stairs with the trophy as I'm walking to my office to put it on the shelf. And then I pictured me driving home at the end of that night, like where it's on the passenger seat and I'm thinking about like, oh my God, I can't believe we actually did it. We're driving home with this trophy. And then I visualized the winner's photo. They take a photo when mm-hmm. you win a tournament, especially a trophy tournament. They take a photo and they post it on Twitter and their social media. And so I pictured like taking the photo and that I would have pocket fives as my, you can pick the cards. It's not, it's supposed to be the hand you won with, like you can pick for your photo what hand you went. And then pocket five is my favorite hand. Yeah. So I pictured like having pocket fives there and like, you know, the winner's photo, like the light and like the way that they're taking the photo and the camera and like how the entire tournament is cleared out. There's no one there, empty tables everywhere because we just got done winning. We're the last person left. And all the chips are on the table. And I pictured the entire win tournament room. And then I pictured playing heads up, like right before the win, it's me and another person. And like that final hand where you're like, this can make or break the win, right? And like the adrenaline rush of like that final hand happening. And then it happens and it's like, oh my God, we won, right? And then I pictured when we get down to final two tables. And then I pictured like, And then I pictured like, the end of late reg, and I pictured the beginning of the tournament, and I pictured walking to my table with my ticket and thinking about how we're going to win this tournament, and all these piles of chips just coming my way, just the entire tournament, just like chips and chips and chips and chips. And I've never had this happen before, but that specific tournament, I couldn't lose. It wasn't just like I was having a good run. It was like I was chip leader from the jump. Wow. And I never stopped being the chip leader. I was the chip leader the entire tournament. Usually in tournaments, they go up and down and then like you go back up again and like you win a big one. This time I was entire time. And it was a mixture of like there was definitely a lot of luck involved, but there was like a skill too of like reading specific people. And I was just locked in and I wasn't thinking when I was there in the moment. So I did all that visualization, I did the meditation, and then I drove there. And when I was in the moment, I didn't think about any of that. I just thought about like how fun the ride would be.
Love that.
How fun the ride is. And I was just in the present moment, like enjoying moment. Not like, okay, but when's the win going to happen? When's the end?
That's the desperate energy.
Yeah, not the desperate energy. Just like how much fun I was having playing the game, how much fun it was dragging every single pot, how much fun it was stacking piles of chips, how much fun it was like when I sucked out on somebody, how much fun it was winning flips. Like every part of it, I was just having fun. And when I would lose a pot, I just like recenter. Like I wouldn't let it affect me. I mean, I said I didn't lose. Like I lost like little ones. Like,
But you never let the moment get too big for you.
No. And then, everything happened exactly like my visualizations, like where the winner's photo, the like, yay, the like, so, and then extra things in there too. That was pretty fun. Like my friend was playing cash at the time. And so he railed, like when he would continuously like kind of almost like trolling me, like, oh, did you win yet? Or are you going to take it down? You better win this. You better pink. And I was like, I don't know. I'm chip leading. I don't know. We'll see what happens. And then he was there at the like very end, like, oh my God, I can't believe you fucking actually just waltzed in here and did it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I just talked about it too, how I wanted to win a trophy. And so I was driving home and I had the same thoughts of like it being in the passenger seat. And then I put it on the shelf exactly how I visualized it. Here it is. It's the first trophy I've ever won in my entire life.
It looks awesome.
And I love
it. It's heavy.
It's exactly the weight that I
It's a Wynn.
Pictured
if you're listening to this, it looks like the Wynn Hotel.
Yeah.
But in trophy
form.
Here
in Vegas. It
looks like a marble trophy.
And they're bigger tournaments. Like they have really big ones that are like huge trophies. Yeah. And they have like versions of this that are big and gold. And those are like really cool too. But really like this one is, I was like, that's, I'm so happy this was my first trophy.
It's great. I love it.
It's my favorite
design. Always loved that trophy the best.
Me too.
And I want to
win more of them.
Because we have a lot of poker friends who've won a lot of things, and I've seen all the trophies up close and personal. Yeah. But Wynn trophies are just the coolest.
Yeah.
They just are sleek and cool looking.
They're just really cool. Yeah. And so it just made me so filled with joy exactly how I visualized it feeling. And so, yes, this is anecdotal, but it was like one small thing where I was like, well, let's see if that works,
sure,
you know?
Yeah,
and course. I've done this enough times in my life where I no longer feel like it's anecdotal. I know they're all just stories, but it can't just be working for all of these people and then I try it and it works for me over and over and over and over again. And it's worked so many times mm-hmm. since I learned about it when I was 18, and I don't talk about it because, and she's the first person that I've heard say this as well, where remember how you like talking about what you want to do yes. in life, like you like shooting your shot and like yes. pointing at the bleachers and stuff. And I'm always like, it's kind of a secret yep. for me yep. Yep. until I do it. Helene has the same mindset. She says you bag it and then you brag it.
Mm.
And the reason being is that when you win things and you start winning consistently, like you're doing this stuff and then you start like attracting a lot of like crazy things in your life, people start to get envious. And they can get a little jealous, and maybe they don't even mean to. Maybe they're your friends and they're supportive, but like they kind of get a little like envious, like why you and not me? When you tell them, when they're like, so what are you gonna win next or whatever? When you tell them, they send out negative energy, and if you're really receptive to energy, like you can pick up their negative energy toward your thing, and it can kind of get in the way of your energy now, because now you've picked up their negative stuff.
Or if you're a petty Jedi like me, yeah, you pick up that and feed off of it.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me.
It works for me great.
That's fine. And we've argued about this before. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But she is on the same thing that I'm on, where I'm like, that's exactly how I've felt.
Yeah.
But I didn't have another person confirming that before. And she's like, yeah, so in her family, they would all get together. Like they would tell each other.
Mm-hmm.
So like I could tell you, but like not people outside the circle, because of the negative stuff. So she had her kids and her husband, and she'd be like, where do you guys want to go for vacation this year? And they'd pick a place, and then she'd find a contest where you can win that
love
prize
that.
Or a prize where you could choose anywhere you want to go in the world. And so they'd all know that she was like manifesting that. But when, you know, people at the kids' school would be like, what's your mom gonna win next?
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
kids would be like, I don't know. Like they knew what was next.
Oh, that's cool.
But they wouldn't say a word about it, because they didn't want any other outside energies to like
juju.
Affect it, right? And yeah, it's like not reverse juju per se, but it's just that if you're very like receptive to other people's energy, mm-hmm. then it could subconsciously like just get in the way for you.
Makes sense.
And I feel like when I'm around negative people, I start becoming very negative. I'm like, it's if someone's talking with an accent,
yeah, you're a total sponge.
I start talking with their accent. If someone is like really knowledgeable on a thing, like if they talk to me about it for 30 minutes, I can recite all the information. I can spew back all the information. Like I'm knowledgeable about that. Like it's very sponge-like. And so I have to be really careful with who I hang around with, because yeah. sometimes I don't really realize. And like, it's not like people are bad people. It's just that they're really negative sometimes, and then I start being really negative and sure. don't really realize it. So that was a big one. Also, she says, watch your thoughts, because thoughts become words. Watch your words, because words become actions. Watch your actions, because actions become habits. Watch your habits, because habits become character. And watch your character, because your character becomes your destiny. And so basically it all comes back to your thoughts. Thoughts become things. And that's the basic concept between all of this, is that we're all energy, but most of it is non-physical. Like most of the universe is space.
Yeah, know? I just don't get why it's so corny to some people, because everything in cool in our world,
yeah.
the things that people drive hundreds of thousands of miles and pay thousands of thousands of dollars, they work thousands and thousands of hours for,
yeah,
like going to see the Statue of Liberty or the Burj Khalifa or any of that shit. It was somebody's idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was somebody's idea. Simplest.
That's all it is.
Simplest thing.
It's
right?
ideas.
But that's, and that's it. And like all the cool things in our life is because of somebody had an idea and they did it.
Yeah.
But people view this as some airy-fairy shit. But to me, it's like,
well, you know why? And I've talked about this a lot, is just that like it gets beaten out of you in
yeah, I think so.
School and stuff, because they train that logic is worth more than creativity,
mm-hmm.
and that you need both. You should have both.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you should be able to have
practicality,
critical thinking, and mm-hmm. and logical, you know, deduction, and be able to analyze things. But you also need the creativity part. Like, you also need the imagination. You also need the innovate, like, the ideas. The like, this all is supplemented by this. It's not just like logic triumphs everything. Yeah. Like, it's need both. And in schools and stuff, unfortunately, they reward logic way more than they reward creativity and art.
Sure.
And that's just to train you to be a good employee, so that you can, you know, work for corporations. And guess what? The corporations fund the textbooks. And like, it's just like a whole system, right? Yeah. And we won't get into that. But I'm just saying that
it's like the food pyramid.
But you don't even realize that that's how you were trained. You were programmed that way. It's not even your fault. It's like you created a belief that wasn't even yours, and you didn't realize that it happened because, like, that other outside forces conditioned it into you. The adults in your life conditioned it into mm-hmm. you. Your schools conditioned it. Your work. Everyone is, and they repeat it over and over again. How, like, this is the realistic approach to life, and this is the logical way, and like, don't believe this weird shit because, like, that's such a pipe dream, like, fantasy land, like, delusional ass way of life. And it's like, well, is it? If like, I feel like your life is what you believe it is. So if you believe that that's impossible, it is impossible.
But it's like you said, right? When you open this up, it's like when they interviewed all these people who had done really well, they all say the same things.
They do, yeah.
But then, like, you know, it's in the same way that, like, yeah, you can know a successful path to something, but somebody will bully it out of you at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's
possible. Crabs in a bucket.
Right. And if that's possible, then you were never supposed to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Right? I truly believe in the power of personal perseverance. Like, if you really do have an idea mm-hmm. that you just can't give up on,
you can't stop thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it.
You're obsessed about it.
Yeah, you can't let logical factors get in the way.
Nothing will stop you.
You can't let any there's like
the most practical person won't stop you. None of it will stop you.
Well, it can if you're just not conditioned to realize your potential, like where you are able to stick up for yourself and be like, no, I'm still going to pursue this even though everyone thinks I'm stupid.
Yeah, and I wish more people were like that. That's why I believe in the people who just can't, there's no quit in them.
Yeah.
On that idea, right? On that particular thing. Like the Sylvester Stallones, right? Everyone told him, stop doing this Rocky thing. We're not going to hire you. Go fuck yourself and all that stuff. And he's like, cool, I'll take less money. You have to hire me though.
Yeah.
And he bet on himself.
Well, that's why I'm more open to sharing this now, because it's been almost 2 decades of doing this. I started when I was 18.
Yeah.
And I never really like was open about sharing it because every test I've taken, it's like 50-50 logic and creative, like where the left right brain thing, like mm-hmm. It's always 50-50. And I was raised by finance people. You know, my parents are both in finance. It's very like logic and very very practical stuff, but I feel they're secret creatives. And they definitely covered it up because they're like, this is how you make money, is by the, like, this route.
Your
father's
very closeted.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was, I didn't want to share this stuff because it seemed too idealistic and real and like not reality based and not logic based and like, and kind of pseudoscience kind of stuff. And there's a lot of names that people slap on, like, you know, because,
bring it.
You know,
been called
whatever.
Everything.
You know, whatever it is. And so, like, I didn't want. It was my own little world where, like, I could experiment inside of it and not have anyone judge me for it. So I would prefer not to talk about it and just have like a bunch of miracles happen in my life all over and over and over again, and let people wonder how it happened. Right? Exactly. I'm just lucky, you know.
Hey,
and
that's what they say.
I'm
about
just
me.
Lucky, and like, yeah, a lot of. Love I mean, it. What is luck? You know, then you'd have to define luck, but. But I decided that within the past couple of years, like, I've really been opening up about it a lot more, especially with a lot of random things happening.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like there's so many more instances. Before, I was just in one industry, like, you know, doing little, like, manifesting things around the house and stuff like that. But now it's like I went into a whole different field. And like now I picked like really
specific
out
things.
Of reach things, yes. like yes. kind of. Very specific.
But like she says, pick it, right?
Things that
select
like,
it.
Yeah, things that like when I did them, people were like, it took people decades to do this. Yeah. Like normally people this just doesn't happen mm-hmm. to people. And if the amount of times I've heard throughout my life, this just doesn't happen to people for so many random things mm-hmm. Is too coincidental to me that I feel like there's some method to the madness. There's some formula. There's something true. There's some truth to this stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a couple different resources you can look into. Like Dr. Joe Dispenza, he's a neuroscientist and he's really into this stuff, but he approaches it from a scientific perspective, and he's done tons of research and study, and like has like now has like enough hard evidence that you can cure diseases that you have in your body. Like you can change the physical stuff inside of your body. And he's like case after case, and like really hard evidence to support all of this, where it can no longer be described as pseudoscience. And it's like, it just within the past 2 years has it like had enough like really true scientific evidence to like that no one can deny it.
Nah, sometimes so, people get lucky.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. So we'll leave it at that. And so that's Helen Hansel. She's amazing. Check out her stuff. She says she gets asked what the secret to success in life is, and she always says three things. She says you need a wishbone, a backbone, and a funny bone.
Love it.
And I love that.
It's a great closer.
Yeah. Check her out. Check all the stuff out. Check out our Patreon too if you like the show, you want to support it. Patreon.com/sticky, STIKKI. Steve will teach you all about crypto if you're into that. We do free roll poker tournaments if you're into that. And we have an awesome Discord community. You get the show a couple days early. And that's it.
Thank you for listening.
We'll see you in the next one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And hey, why do you think I always say, if this isn't manifesting, what is?
I manifested Steve.
You manifested me. Yeah, you did.
The journal. They know the story.
Yeah.
For those of you, if you never knew, I wrote in my journal that I wanted to marry someone exactly like Steve Green.
Got pretty close. I always say at the end of every Crypto Corner episode, and I've said it for many years now, we're going to do it again. And it's happening right the fuck now. It's not an accident, right? It's not lucky.
Yeah.
See ya.
See ya.